Hey. So my prayer is that as we talk about God's grace in my life, that each of us would be open to what the Lord wants to do in us and the transformation. Transformation, that's kind of the theme of what I'm talking about here, is how that grace has been used to transform. And hopefully the testimony will encourage everyone here to be open-hearted about what transformation the Lord wants to do for you. You're probably familiar. All of us are familiar with the scriptures that talk about how God loves us. One of my favorites is Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. You were saved by grace." And another one that's, there's a bunch of these, but another one that's impactful for me, but God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we're familiar with these, and there's more, but for many of us, that truth gets stuck in our head and doesn't make it to our heart. And I know that has been true for me for a long time and to a large extent. And it's been a long, hard road for me to work on that. I started out with a very locked heart, created by an experience as a child that it was kind of hard. And so God brought many experiences of His grace into my life to help break down that hard place in my heart. But there's still a sense in me that there's more. And that's what, you know, it keeps me coming back to Him. The next slide here, there's a couple of verses that talk about His love. But these are extra special to me because special maybe is the wrong word, but you look at the first one here in John 13:34. Jesus tells His disciples, "Love one another just as I have loved you. So you must love one another." And this "just as I have loved you" thing, it's like, oh, I don't feel like I have that sense of His love for me the way He refers to it here. And then this verse in Zephaniah, this one is awesome. I've been meditating on this one now for a few years. "Yahweh, your God, is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will bring you quietness with His love. He will delight in you with shouts of joy." Now, this is not the picture of God that I had when I left home. This whole idea of rejoicing over me with gladness and bringing me quietness with love and delighting in me with shouts of joy. Can you picture that in your mind of God doing that? That was not my understanding of God. So as a result, I would read these verses and there's a hunger created as a result of that. And we know, next slide here, we all know that we have experiences of life and love as children, especially from our fathers, that have a great impact on how we see God and how we experience His love. And so I grew up on a ranch. My dad didn't talk much about his growing up experience, but from what I knew of his dad, I knew it was probably torture worse than mine. So, but that wasn't what I was thinking about as I was experiencing the torture. I wasn't thinking necessarily about what my dad was starting from. All the emphasis in my world was on work and performance. And criticism and anger was characteristic of most of my interactions with my dad. There were some positive ones, I'm sure, but of course those didn't stick in my memory like all of the negative ones. And so that's what I remember. My dad, I'm certain, never said, "I love you." I don't remember any expressions of honor or affection or delight toward me with words or direct action. All expressions of approval were based on what I'd done, how I'd performed. His expressions of approval were mostly in the form of providing for my needs, training me in hard work, controlling my life so I wouldn't get in trouble, and providing for my education. So as a result, there's lies and shame from my childhood that I enter life with, in a sense, that I launch with. I came away with a pretty hard heart. I shut down most of my feelings so that I could survive. I had a very low self-esteem, and I believed that my value is only in what I could do, because that's what was ingrained in me. And I didn't really think anyone could care about me, especially if they knew what was on the inside. So that's what God started with, right? This is the package God was given. But he brought lots of expressions of his grace into my life to try to break these hard places off of my heart. One of the first ones that I think about was when I was about seven years old, and I was playing. I had a nice big ranch to play on, so I had a bow and arrow, and I was out shooting this arrow all over the place and having a great time, and I shot this arrow far away, very far away, and I went to look for it in the grass, and I could not find it, and I searched for what seemed like hours, and I couldn't find my arrow, and I was very distraught, and of course, I only had one, so this was the end of my playtime. So at that time, my family was going to church some, and so I had this concept of God, and I was taught to pray, so I prayed. And I said, God, help me find this arrow. And it was more of a test. Does God exist? And lo and behold, I only searched for a few more seconds after that, and I found the arrow. And this was made a powerful impact on me as a seven-year-old. It really, it planted a seed in my heart that God cares, and he's paying attention to me, that I'm important to him. So fast forward quite a few years. I show up at A&M here in first year in the dorm, and I'm just a young man, very downtrodden in the inside, very oppressed on the inside, and very low self-esteem. And so I'm struggling and with the newfound freedom, how to deal with that and how to, who am I type of thing going on. And so by the time sophomore year showed up, I had reached a point where I was really, really low, just really aware by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that I was a horrible sinner, but also aware that I was worthless and useless and no good, and that my life didn't have any value. And these things came together, and I had been going to church some with some friends that hadn't been inviting me. So at this point of, and there was some suicidal thoughts for sure going on here. So in my dorm room, I kneeled down and said, God, I don't know if you're real, but I'm done. I'm done with life. Whatever's left you can have. If you're real, take it, do something with it. That kind of prayer. And no lightning bolts, no bells going off, no nothing. And I was like, okay, well, but there was some peace that came. I got up from there and lived life just like I had normally been doing. But I did have the deep sense of despair had lifted to some extent. So I'm still going to church some with friends and living life and doing my thing and making good grades in school. But I distinctly remember this time, sometime later, I don't know how long, a year at least, maybe two, year and a half, when God just allowed me to look back on the past year and a half or how long it was, and he showed me the change in my heart that had happened without me trying to do anything. I hadn't been memorizing any scripture. No one had been discipling me. I hadn't been reading the Bible, but God had taken a lot of this yuck, a lot of this sense of worthlessness and deep despair out of my life, and it was gone. And I was like, wow, amazing. And it really impacted me. And so these are just one more powerful experience. Some short time after that, I was in relationship with a girl for the first time in my life, and that was really amazing. And it God really used that to once again say, you know, I'm not as worthless as I think I am, type of thing. And the relationship was very clean and very good, but with this hard heart that I had, I couldn't really love. And so I think, you know, it didn't take too long for her to figure out that wasn't working very good. But actually, I mean, it wasn't an intense relationship, so it probably went on for maybe, I don't know, 9 months anyway. And but at that point, it ended, and for me, it was just very heartbreaking. And so I just think we remember spending some days on my knees in my prayer closet just crying out to God for comfort and help and grace to make it through this very, very difficult time with my broken heart. And he met me there in a very significant way. And, you know, it took some time, but there was comfort that came. And he also spoke to me a kind of a promise. It's like, you don't need to worry about relationship anymore. When the time comes for you to be in a relationship with someone, I'll show you. I'll take care of that type of thing. And there was just a new freedom as a result of that. And it was actually close to 8 years before God said, now's the time. And throughout those 8 years, there was very little, you know, anxiousness about that issue in my life. So, there's a lot of other experiences. God put me in connection with a family for a summer that showed me what family was like, which I had never really experienced before. When the time came and he said, now's the time, and my wife came into my life, and I found myself waking up at night praying that she would be my wife. And I was like, where did this come from? So these were experiences that were really impactful for me. And so within a month of getting married, though, it was evident to my wife that something was wrong, that this heart of mine, this closed heart, was just not opening like it was supposed to. And so 8 years later, we've got 5 kids, and it's beginning to get to the crisis mode. And the lack of love that I'm able to express basically means selfishness and self-focus. And you know how that works in marriage. So 5 years later after that, it had reached the crisis mode, and we were on the edge of separation. And then God came, and through a lot of prayer on my part and hers, God met us there and provided some counseling that seemed like it would be hopeful. And through that counseling, both of us were able to break down some walls and open my heart a little bit more and bring healing to that marriage. Each of these experiences helped make God's love tangible and helped soften my heart. And I want to talk a little bit about how we receive His love. And just to try to take from these experiences and apply it. Maybe it's just where I am in this journey, but because I'm not done. There's still a lot of hardness here. It still seems like I have a hunger to be filled with His love, and I have a faith that there's more right now. but my problem is I have a strong tendency to perform for it. So that causes a problem. So the question is, do we take a posture of rest to receive, or do we labor by the Spirit and press into God? And the answer is we do both, probably not at the same time, but it's a combination of that in my experience. And this scripture right here of 2 Corinthians 3:18, to me, is a really important key in transformation. He tells us here, we all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And this is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So there's a process described there. And I've experienced this process over and over again. And when I choose to go to it, it's life-changing. So the first step is seeking. Right? It says when we are looking in a mirror at the glory of the Lord. So there's an action on our part, seeking and not hiding. Okay? And then there's beholding. Beholding, focusing on the Lord and beholding. And looking intently at Him. And then there's this concept, as you're beholding, you gotta be resting because you're not doing anything except looking. So there's the resting. And I do feel like it's important in my experience to keep our eyes on Scripture and keep His promises in front of us so that we're able to have that foundation of truth and what we're beholding, and so that we can stay focused on His love. Just a couple years ago, it seemed like God was just putting this hunger in my heart for more of this shell to be broken off of my heart. And so I went and collected about a dozen scriptures, some of which were on the first slide that we did, about His love. And I began meditating on those. I've got them on my phone. In my quiet time, I typically scroll through them. But sometimes I'll just sit on one of them and just ask the Lord about this particular scripture. You know, what does this mean about Your love for me? And let Him process that with me for 10, 15, 20 minutes. Let Him speak to me about what this means about His love, and ask Him questions about how do I put it into practice, and asking Him to break the shell off my heart. And that's been life-changing for me. Just in the past couple years, there's been lots of transformation that's happened in me just a result of that. So our marriage is probably at the best place it's ever been. But I think there's a lot more coming. I'm really expecting a lot more for that in that area. So in summary, what His grace has taught me. We to cry out and not give up. I look back at my experiences with the Lord, and there's quite a number of them, especially if they were hard experiences. There was a lot of crying out, and there's a lot of persevering. And not experiencing breakthrough right away. Focus on resting and beholding the Lord. And don't be afraid to take some time to do that, like days maybe even weeks. Conclude some fasting in that possibly. Meditate on Scripture. Keep the truth of His love in focus. And don't be afraid of feelings and emotions. Remember that scripture, Zephaniah, that I had at the beginning about how He delights in us. He rejoices over us with gladness. That's an emotional God. And that's the part that I did not have when I left home. But that's the part that He's restoring to me, to be able to enter into intimacy with God in an emotional part of my life. And that's what He desires. So some people are afraid of that. And I say, no, that's who He is. So my hope and prayer for you and me is that we would experience God's heart, the God's heart-changing love more and more, that His heart-changing love would be working its way in our heart, and that we could be transformed into His image and enjoy His love and grace and powerfully express His glory and love toward others. It's the enjoyment of His love and grace at work in our heart that flows out of us and we and reveals his glory as we live our daily lives in the world and in our marriages and in our families and in our home groups and in our relationships. So I'd be glad to the worship team come back up now. If you guys feel like you need prayer for this, I'm happy to pray for people afterward or anyone else. I'm sure there'll be some other people that will be willing and available for that. I think that through my testimony and my experiences, it's not something that I have to give you. It's something that God has and is made available to you. So it's not me that does that. It's God in me. And it doesn't take anyone special to pray for people and see life come. You guys can pray for one another.